This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're joined this week by Bryce Abel, and we hope to have our co-host, Randall, on the show. And I hesitate to tell you the issues we encountered with Skype trying to hook up Bryce and Randall and me in one group chat.
Shocking, isn't it? It's just shocking.
I like the way Sean Connery says, shocking.
I can't do that. But it is shocking that this is supposedly one of the most impressive platforms out there. And I think Microsoft bought it and was supposed to improve it. And you still can't get a good connection.
Well, you know, it's funny. We add, normally, as a routine, we have conversations with, you know, four or five people sometimes.
Yeah.
And it works perfectly. But this combination, it may be because you were co-author of a book on disclosure.
Well, I may be on a certain list in a certain place. We really don't know, but we'll just have to bravely go forward and pretend this isn't happening.
We're not even here.
No.
Folks, we are not here. There is nothing wrong with your television set.
Yeah.
Because we're on radio. And the reason we're on radio is because I don't cast a reflection. I want to be serious. I don't want to joke because somebody I've known for over 40 years has left us this week. That was Stanton Friedman. Now, some regard him as the dean of UFO researchers. Others have different levels of disagreement with him. And we're not going to dwell on that. I had various levels of disagreement with Stan. We had debated somewhat on the MJ-12 documents, which he accepted as real and I didn't. Let's leave that aside. But every time I did see him at a convention, call him a convention friend, anytime there was an event or a convention that he attended, we chatted for a while. And we did this, you know, every year or two. And then, you know, he announced, was it last year, that he was going to give up the lecture circuit. And we did a show with him. But it seems that, you know, he decided that he wanted to go out standing. So he kept doing the lectures, and at the airport, he died suddenly. We had him on April 1st, 2018, with Randall and I. And at that time, and I think Bryce Abel will have more to say about that, we did talk to him a little bit about his personal life, which he did not really talk about very much on the show. But we got him to talk about it. I thought it's an interesting session. That's April 1st, 2018. But Bryce, you interviewed Stan at length about life beyond UFO research. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I think this is a tough one for all of us. Stan not only has defined the face and voice of this for a lot of people in the mainstream media, but he's just also someone who, as you mentioned, was at a lot of the conventions. Now, my history with Stan may not go back quite as far as yours, but the first time Stan and I connected was back when I was doing Dark Skies for NBC, and I was kind of on a reading jag, and I had read his book, Top Secret Magic, about those Majestic 12 documents, and I reached out to him and optioned it. So we got to start to talking about it. So I really got to know him, I guess, as a ufologist at that point. Flash forward a few years, and I got this idea that I wanted to tell the story of Roswell as the story of the competition to sort of race the undertakers to get all the best witnesses. And after Stan broke the story, there'd been a pretty strong competition between him and Don Schmidt and their respective teams. So I optioned Stan's life rights and Don's life rights and top secret magic again and a witness to Roswell and sort of put them in an atom collider of a screenplay rather. And in order to do that, I literally created a timeline where I sat Stan and Don down, but in this case, let's focus on Stan, and just made him walk me through his life. And he was not a person who really wanted to open up very much. I think if any knock people have had over the years is that his talking points were very well established, and he didn't deviate too much from them, and he really didn't speculate much. So I learned a lot of things about Stan that I just never knew. I mean, I didn't know that he was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family. I didn't know that he was the rabbi's star pupil, and he sang in the synagogue choir. I mean, these were just things that started popping up in conversation with him. I thought it was pretty interesting that he was a sports writer at a high school, at his high school newspaper, which was kind of incredible. He was a busboy in the Catskills. When he attended the University of Chicago, Carl Sagan was one of his classmates. He got his way through school by being a union waiter at a hotel. And then he started telling me about his family life. And I bet there aren't very many people who know that in all the articles that have been written about Stanton Friedman over the years, and there have been hundreds, if not thousands, there is one that is in Ladies' Home Journal from 1963 or 1964 that focuses entirely on Stanton Friedman and his wife's adoptions, doesn't mention ufology at all. He had a pretty profound life outside of ufology. He was a good and decent man. I miss him as much as we all do.
It's like when we go to the conventions, I look for the people I knew to be sitting at a booth. And every year, it seems there are fewer and fewer people. It's almost a sign of age, but I hate to say that. You know, I hate to say anybody's getting old because people do live longer now.
I'll tell you the thing, Gene, that makes me particularly sad. This movie at the time was called Magic Men, M-A-J-I-C. It's currently been retitled to The Crash, referring to the Roswell crash. And again, Stan and I have talked many, many, many hours about the movie and about his life and how we would portray him, etc. He was very open to me taking creative license. I mean, he was just tickled that there'd be somebody playing Stanton Friedman. You know, the idea it might be Dustin Hoffman or someone, you know, it just made him smile. But he always said, you know, when I'd say, I hope this doesn't offend you that we're going to be doing the scene this way or whatever, he would say, not at all. Just go ahead and get this thing made. I can't wait to be on that red carpet. So I'm really sorry that if we get this film to a red carpet, which I do think is quite likely, I'm sorry that Stan won't be on it. That really is the tragedy of this whole thing. He's gone too soon, and we all miss him, and he was a great and profound character. I mean, I will say this. Stan has his edges, and that's what made him a great character. I loved writing him as a character, and I loved putting him in scenes and writing the dialogue for him, and that's why it was so fun to get to know him, because, you know, he marched to his own drummer. I mean, there's just no other way to look at it, and that's part of what made him so charming.
How many times do you mention Cosmic Watergate in that script?
Well, I mention it, but I think that goes back to the Stan talking points. And he had them, and if you went to these conventions, you heard them many times over. The hardest thing I found in talking with Stan was I kept trying to push him out of his comfort zone. I kept trying to say, look, Stan, you have spent more years looking into this, talking to more people than probably anybody else, or at least you're in the top five. I want to know what you think. What do you think is really going on? Because I think those of us who have done research into this phenomenon, we know that it's quite strange. Even if it does, as Stan suspected, involve extraterrestrials, it may involve more. And I just never succeeded 100% in getting him to get off the talking points. And I think that's sad because I still, as we mark his passing right now, wish that we had him here on the line with us, Gene, and we could say, come on, Stan, we've heard the Cosmic Watergate, but Watergate was covering up something. What is the essence of the cover-up?
We have more to come with Bryce Sable. He's telling us about his encounters, his close encounters with the late Stanton Friedman, almost hesitate to say it that way. With Gene Steinberg and Bryce Zabel, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Bryce is telling us about portraying Stan Friedman in a script, this unique character. Let me ask you a quick question before we go on. Do you think the Project Blue Book series about Dr. J. Allen Hynek, as fictionalized, has that helped create a climate for something like this?
Boy, I don't think there's a quick answer to what I think about Project Blue Book. I have a lot of nuanced thoughts about it. So I'll try to answer maybe we can come back to that later. The narrow question you're asking is, does the success of Project Blue Book on the History Channel make it helpful to a movie such as The Crash, the film that we have structured around Stan's life? Does it make it more likely? Yeah, probably. Probably it's helpful in that regard. So to that, I say thank you for your success. As to whether my portrayal of Stanton Friedman in The Crash will be quite as far afield as the portrayal of J. Allen Hynek on Project Blue Book, I don't know. I think I'm a little closer to the real guy than they are to their real guy.
Well, in that case, Dr. Hynek was an action hero.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the thing is, I'm all in favor of people getting interested in the topic, and certainly as a dramatist myself, I know about taking dramatic license, and I know that you can't just, if you want a documentary, shoot a documentary. If you want to know deeply, read the book. So I do understand that liberties are taken. I have taken them myself. Part of the problem about Blue Book at this point is simply this. Probably 90% of their audience doesn't know much more about Blue Book than what they're seeing on TV. So what they see in the Blue Book series is what they think Blue Book really operated like, which was not true. And they think that J. Allen Hynek is pretty much like the character as he's portrayed, which also was not true. But as long as we're talking about J. Allen Hynek and Stanton Friedman, I will tell you that when I interviewed Stanton for these many hours over the years about his life and created this timeline, one name that pops up over and over is J. Allen Hynek in terms of meeting with Stan. And I'm looking through my notes right now, and my notes say that it was 1968 when Stanton Friedman first met J. Allen Hynek. And Stanton described that meeting as saying that Hynek had a problem with him, who thought he was a big mouth who didn't have a Ph.D. Let me see what else he said. I don't want to go on and on here. So they meet multiple times over the years at various things, and they go from being guys who are sort of looking skeptically at the other guy, thinking that they're a hot dogger, to sort of hanging out together. I have another note in 72 where they were out in Los Angeles together, and they hung out together at the Los Angeles Press Club for a while. I mean, so that's the thing about ufology, Gene, isn't it, that we are talking about the biggest subject ever in history. It's so freaking important, and yet we all know each other because it's kind of a small group. Now, that's about to change as we move further and further into an honest disclosure or discussion of this topic. But right now, if you're into UFOs, you certainly know who Stanton Friedman is. And you are thinking about his passing as a big loss, as I'm sure both of us are, even though, as you stated, you had some disagreements with him. And I had a few myself about some of his conclusions, but it doesn't change the gargantuan contribution this man made. When he, in 1978, tracked down Jesse Marcel and found the Roswell story, I mean, that is just huge. And I don't think he's been given proper credit for what he did. Now, what the essence of the film, by the way, is that Stanton, who was the guy who first found Roswell, got challenged by the younger guy, the Don Schmidt character, to take the story home. And I think you could make an argument that that happened. Stanton did get a little distracted by the MJ-12 documents. So that did take him off track a little bit in the 80s and 90s.
You'll notice, though, the book that came out on Roswell, as much as Stan contributed to that, you saw William Moore's name on it, you saw Charles Burleigh's name on it.
Yeah.
But Stan was relegated to some kind of credit, I think.
That is a crime. I mean, that is just a crime. And, I spent time talking to Stan about everything, including that. And he maintained a stoic attitude about it, is about the best way I could put it. That he knew he'd been screwed on that, and he just realized he couldn't put that genie back in the bottle, and he would just have to live with it, which he did. And it's sad that it happened that way. I don't think in today's environment it would go down quite like that. Stan got sold a bill of goods and by the people who were putting that book out in 1980, who convinced him that somehow, just because he had found Marcel, that didn't make him and done most of the research for it, that his name would mean nothing on the book. And of course, that's really a tragedy.
Well, Charles Berlitz, he was a bit of an operator, I think. I liked him. But he had that twinkle in his eye, and he would say to me, I'm as honest as the day is long. And you and I know when someone says that, what the truth is. So he was a guy who was a good promoter with the Philadelphia Experiment book and the Bermuda Triangle book. So we understand that latching on to this and having his name on it helped the book sales. I just can't imagine why Stanton Friedman wouldn't help.
Well, just sheer decency and honesty and representation would say that Stanton's name should have been on as a co-writer. I'm not saying that Charles Berlitz didn't make a big contribution by backing it. That was huge. That was terrific. And but we should say this, that book has not stood the test of time, because a lot of the information in that book has been rendered as being incorrect or inadequate with all the great research that has gone on over the years by numerous researchers. But Stanton remains the godfather of Roswell, and deservedly so. And as we disclose more and more about this phenomenon that's facing us, and Roswell itself as an event comes closer into focus, Stanton will be a name on the ascent. I mean, when they write the history of how we came to grapple with this phenomenon, Stanton's going to have a big page or two written about him.
I find it unfortunate that he didn't get the attention that he deserved. He was good at one thing, which is important, especially on TV. He could do good sound bites.
He could do good sound bites, but one of the things I have fun with in the screenplay, of course, is that if you take Stanton Friedman and Don Schmidt and stand them up next to each other, you've got Don Schmidt, who is sartorially knowledgeable and puts himself together in a very, refined way, I guess. I mean, he looks like a up-and-coming professional. And Stanton, kind of had that wild, crazy, mad scientist look.
Got to do our break. Yeah. We'll talk about the mad scientist in our next segment with Gene and Bryce. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Missouri is the latest state to pass restrictive abortion measures. Governor Mike Parson.
I think that's important. I think that's showing Missourians' values, and it's a piece of legislation that will be signed in the near future.
Democratic Representative Carrie Engel.
There's really no words to describe it. It feels like we're failing the state of Missouri.
The bill increases tax credits for donations to pregnancy resource centers. Women who receive abortions after 8 weeks would not be prosecuted, but doctors who perform them could face up to 15 years in jail. The weather is not yet spring in some places. Brian Hurley is lead forecaster at the Weather Prediction Center, and he has bad news for the nation's heartland.
Thunderstorm activity, some of which could be severe, damaging winds, hail, but also, certainly with that said, the threat of flash flooding as well.
This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So you were mentioning as we broke last time, Bryce Abel, that Stan Friedman had, I guess with the hair and the beard, Dr. Zarkov. He would have been a good Dr. Zarkov in a Flash Gordon movie. I thought of him also as kind of a rumpled scientist look. A guy who was a nerd, you know, he sits behind his microscopes or something.
Yeah,
and he enters information on a computer. You don't think of him as a public personality so much.
But he was a very smart guy. So if he wanted to, he could have said, well, what should I do to make myself more of a on-camera personality? But he just chose not to do that. And it's funny. I have a moment of a scene in the script that is based on real life. I met Stanton here in L.A. for another one of our research meetings, and my son, Jared, came with me to dinner. And so we were all eating, and Stanton was eating his Cobb salad, and he had a piece of food in his beard. And so Jared and I were like, well, should we tell him or do we not tell him? I don't know what to do. And then Stanton saw that Jared was staring at his beard, and he reaches into his beard, grabs the piece of Cobb salad, and then sticks it in his mouth and eats it. And I thought, what a great moment. I've got to put that in the movie, because that's a guy that I love. I mean, that's a guy who just was like, hey, I'm here to talk UFOs. I'm not here to be the guy that eats the perfect Cobb salad. I just thought it was great. It made me smile, and it makes me smile right now thinking about him.
You know, that brings to mind the fact that every time I have met him at a convention, whenever he was eating something, it was that salad.
Well, you know what? Stanton, I think it's all part of a personality. Stanton Friedman was a guy that found the things that worked for him. Now, they might not have worked for you or Don Schmidt or me, but they worked for him. And that might have been his talking points, and it might have been you know, the way he did his beard or whatever. I mean, he found a look, and he felt like what I'm saying is more important than, you know, if I look a little bit like a wild, mad scientist, so be it. Now, today, I don't know. I think he's one of a kind, and I guess if you think about it, looking like a wild character is not a disqualifier. I can't pronounce the man's name, but the host of Ancient Aliens looks a little crazy himself.
And I wonder, was it deliberate, or that's the way he is?
I kind of tend to think about
Stanton Friedman, yeah. That look.
And that's okay. It made him a unique character, and when you're a screenwriter, you're looking for unique characters. And this is a true story. Stanton and Don Schmidt were, as you probably recall, very tough competitors, we'll call it, in the 90s, where they were trashing each other's books and trashing each other's research. And it was sort of that internal fight. In other words, the rest of the world doesn't even know about Roswell, or if they know about it, they think it's a bunch of made up stuff. And so the idea that two researchers could be fighting over the details would seem kind of odd to them, but they were. And here's what's funny. It really happened this way. Most researchers don't have any money, but they've got to go put themselves up in hotel rooms or motel rooms and rent cars and drive out and interview witnesses. And that costs money. And so you're looking for someone to kick in some funds. So Stanton and Don literally had someone agree to give them funds if they would work together. So these two guys who were fighting with each other and calling each other incompetent and ridiculous and bad researchers had to take this trip through Roswell interviewing witnesses and staying in the same motel rooms together. And I found that to be funny enough to add a little humor to the film that we're doing. And I think if you can just imagine Stan and Don getting ready for a meeting together in their cramped little motel room, it just makes me laugh.
You almost think of a TV show where the two leads absolutely hate each other. I'm thinking, for example, of that show. What was it, Castle?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Right. The man and the woman didn't like each other.
It's the classic buddy comedy. You know, you put two people together who don't get along, and then they have to get along in the pursuit of the greater good, which is really what The Crash is all about. It's Stan and Don working together to try to nail down some important witnesses. And my feeling was a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine being telling the story that the Roswell witnesses have told. And the spoonful of sugar is Stan and Don basically in a buddy comedy as competing researchers who have to work together.
But who would be Chris Tucker and who would be Jackie Chan? I wonder.
Actually, it's funny. Maybe during one of our breaks, I'll look at, we have a casting list, and I'm unable to pull up any of the names in my brain right now as we're talking. But and let's face it, you have to decide which character. You know, this would not be the 84-year-old Stanton in the 90s. That makes him like almost 30 years younger. So he was a man, a robust man in his 50s during the time frame of the film.
So you find a 54-year-old man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So we think, what actor would be a good Stanton Friedman?
I'm going to look at that right now and see if I can find that. Let's see. I think I do it. Here's casting. I'm looking on my computer right now. I'm going to say, these are probably old ideas, but here are a few. That we've talked about. And by the way, when we say talked about, that's all it is. You talk about the casting types, and it doesn't really matter, because when you're actually funded and greenlit, that's when you go out and you find whoever the best person who's available. Here's some Stanton Friedmans that we had talked about at one point. Tom Hanks would be fantastic. He'd sell your movie. Paul Giamatti with a beard looks pretty good. John C. Reilly we talked about at the crazier end, Dustin Hoffman, Bill Murray, you know?
Well, Bill Murray and Dustin Hoffman are too old. But
well,
Paul Giamatti.
They weren't when we started down this road. And
okay.
People play younger. The Don Schmitz, you know, Ryan Reynolds or Josh Brolin or anybody like that could be very good. I mean, again, you're right. A casting director will be employed and come in and help us find the right people at the right time when that time comes.
I'm looking at a picture here. Paul Giamatti with a beard, white beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's got that voice, that nasal voice that sounds like it could adapt to.
I think he'd be great. I think he'd be great. And this film also involves Congressman Stephen Schiff, who is a great character in the film, who could be just. You know, people that could knock Schiff's part out of the ballpark would be Alec Baldwin or Billy Bob Thornton or, you know, Dennis Quaid or somebody like that. So there's a lot of great roles in it. But Stanton would be someone who I can imagine an actor reading this script and who's reading it for Stanton and saying, I want to play this guy. And especially after they look him up on YouTube. So I'd like to see this movie get made because I'd like to see Stanton portrayed to the rest of the world, and I'd like to do it because I told Stanton I was going to do everything I could to make it happen, and that's still my commitment to him and to the project.
Okay, of course, when you cast a movie, is there going to be a possible female lead to a movie like that? Maybe a Kathleen Martin or something? Interesting question, and we'll ask more about it with Bryce Sable. Obviously, he's a TV producer, a scriptwriter. And he's very interested in UFOs and has been exploring the life and times of Stanton Friedman, recently passed. More to come with Gene and Bryce in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, and I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, I mentioned in the previous segment, a female lead. What character would that female lead play? Betty Hill, Kathleen Martin?
Well, you know, if we're talking about the Stanton and Don Schmidt movie, the researchers, the roles that, I mean, the script is written, and the female roles in it include the chief of staff to the Congressman Stephen Schiff character, who's very good. And Stanton's wife is in it. And there's a couple of other women who are lesser characters. I think the problem of a movie about Stanton and Don Schmidt is it's two guys. And you can't turn one of them into a woman. You know, that's not the kind of dramatic license you want to take. So it is what it is. It's a movie about a time and a place and some specific people.
I can only hope. Now, speaking of getting things made.
Yeah.
We want to go back to a show that I gather you're not really pleased with despite its success, and that is Project Blue Book. Tell us more.
Well, okay. First, I want to commend them. They've succeeded, and congratulations. And it is wonderful to have people take a frame of reference that might be to the effect that I've been watching this show, and it leads me to believe there's more to this UFO thing than I thought, and I want to know more. That makes me pleased, so I'm happy with that. I had lunch when it first came out with the creator of it. And I think what their experience was my experience on Dark Skies and virtually anything else. When you're trying to do realistic UFO kind of stories in Hollywood, the pressure is always on to apply the standards and the fixes of drama. So you inflate what a character can do or what he did or how he did it. You know, obviously the stories they're portraying didn't happen the way they were doing it. Now, what you could say also is that the bonus to that is that the History Channel is using it as a springboard to put a lot of internet content out there about the real cases. And to the extent that's true, I'm in favor of it. I don't want to be too hard on Project Blue Book, because that's really the pot calling the kettle black, because that's kind of the world I live in, and certainly Dark Skies. Many people think that my NBC series Dark Skies is like it's got a Blue Book vibe to it, or Blue Book has a Dark Skies vibe, however you want to look at it. It's a period piece. Both were period pieces that involve UFO events and ufology and characters from those periods in them. The only difference, I think, is that Dark Skies, as we portrayed it, was pretty straight up an alien invasion that just happened to be taking place in the 1960s and weaving in historical characters. But, you know, we never thought people were tuning in on Saturday night and watching the show and saying, oh, my God, this is exactly what is happening. We didn't feel that, and we weren't portraying it quite like that. Whereas Blue Book is getting the network promoting it as if it's all true. You know, this is just the way it went down. So, you know, it's an imperfect world. I'm not overly critical of it. I've enjoyed watching what I've enjoyed. But I'll give you an example of sometimes where I have to ask myself, okay, stop watching this as a person who knows a lot about UFOs and just try to watch it as a viewer, and maybe it'll be easier. They did an episode, I think their second to last episode, which all their ads and everything was like, this is going to be the Betty and Barney Hill story, which freaked me out, actually, because I have the book Captured under option, and Captured is the book written by Stanton Friedman and Kathleen Martin about the Betty and Barney Hill story. And we've developed that as a script as well. And so I know the Betty and Barney Hill story very well. And when I watched that episode, I thought, how can they even imply this is Betty and Barney Hill? There's nothing about this episode that is Betty and Barney. It was just so radically different. So I guess the only thing that I would say about it is it's better if that semi-permeable membrane between what really happened and what's fiction, it's just a little too semi-permeable on Blue Book for people that know a lot about what they're watching. And for people that are watching it for the first time, it's not a problem at all. I mean, look how popular it is. David O'Leary, as I said, the creator I had lunch with, terrific guy, seems to know a lot about the topic. And I think that he may have had a different show in his head when he first got it picked up. And the development process has probably pushed him into some decisions that were not necessarily his to begin with. That's just my assumption, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, just think of the ultimate example of how Hollywood changes the story. Years and years ago, they optioned the book Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe. What film did it become? I ask you.
Well, I ought to know this one, but I'm drawing.
Okay, I'll give you a hand here. They had terrific.
When the Earth Stood Still, or
no? The Earth Stood Still came out very shortly after the book. It may have been influenced slightly by it. It was a movie that featured special effects from Ray Harryhausen.
Right. Okay. Well, you're going to have to tell me, because I'm going to just not get this one.
Major Keogh was thoroughly embarrassed with the film, which I thought was pretty decent except for the ending, Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Right, of course. Well, you know, again, I have to tell you, Keogh should have known what he was doing if that was the case, and he shouldn't have been so upset about it. One of the things that I literally sat both Stanton Friedman and Don Schmidt down after we had optioned their stories and were working on the script. And I said, guys, you just need to understand one thing. When you see this script, when you read the script or see the movie, don't think of it as Stanton Friedman. Think of it as 180% of Stanton Friedman. Okay? Think of it as 180% of Don Schmidt. That we have to take what is the essence of you and pump up the volume of it. And I think that is something that does happen in movies. Now, if you are Kehoe and you're looking to get the truth out to people, you know, I think his books were probably a better example of how to do that than licensing any one of them to be made as a movie. It's been a long time since I saw that movie. I can't remember whether it felt ridiculous or felt like a good film for the time. Can you? What was your take?
Earth versus the Flying Saucers?
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good film for the time. It's probably on Netflix or somewhere. And if you watch it, it has some interesting aspects to it. Like, for example, the aliens are using these robotic uniforms as a way to preserve themselves because they can't survive in the atmosphere without it. When you take the helmet off, they look like withered gray aliens.
Mm. Well, see, the whole thing, Robbie Graham has written a whole book on that, Silver Screen Saucers, you know, going through the various incarnations that have come in film and television on this topic. And I think it is true that certain of these concepts were being floated in these 50s movies. And the question you have is, were they being floated in the 50s movies because there was some actual knowledge out there that somebody was trying to put out there before the public, or did it work the other way around? It's a tough question. I think that but I always look at it this way. I happen to think Roswell is a true and actual event of an actual crash with the recovery of craft and bodies. That's my personal opinion. I don't know whether you subscribe to it or not, but if you do, I would say then you have to believe that in 1947, this incredible event happened, and the government, which had a lot of resources built up from the World War II period going into the Cold War, and had learned a lot about disinformation and propaganda and feints to the enemy, etc., probably had some thoughts about what they should do with this information and how to prepare the public for it.
Okay. More to come with Gene and Bryce. You're in
the Paracast, baby.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon, September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.